God, this man you gave me, what am I supposed to do with him? And praise God, the Lord spoke to her. He said, just love him. Just that quick. He just said, just love him. So she comes out and said, honey, are you out there? I said, yes. She said, are you coming in soon? I said, in just a minute, as soon as I put up this stuff. When I come in, I mean, she's crying. She grabs me and hugs me and gives me a kiss. And she said, will you forgive me? I said, of course. I said, what happened? What changed your mind? She said, I asked the Lord what I should do to you. And he told me just to love you. And so she said, I'm going to love you, because God just spoke to me and told me. I looked up and I said, Dad, thanks. I sure did need that. Has there been times in all of our lives we needed that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he doesn't always talk to us, but sometimes he does. And he talked to Cheryl that night and told her what to do. Just love him. That's all he said. Not exactly what he said. Just love him. Just love him. So she did. But look what he says here. In verse 13, go on home. What you have believed has happened. That is so important. What you have believed will happen. Do you believe you're sick, or do you believe you're well? Do you believe you repented of your sins and you know you got every sin repented of? And when you be prayed for in faith, God promised to heal you. He promised it. It's a guarantee from God. And so, well, what are you going to do when you're prayed for? When you say, oh, I hope it works. Maybe it will. Well, if you say, I hope it works, or maybe it will, guess what you're going to get? That's absolutely right, brother. You ain't going to get nothing. He is a faith God. He only honors faith. And without pure faith, it's impossible to please me, he says. In fact, he goes so far to say, if you ask me for something and don't ask in faith with no wavering, he said, I ain't going to do nothing for you. Somebody says, God would never do me like that. Well, he said it in his word. He said it in his word. So if you want to get something from God, you got to do exactly what he said. But that word, that line right there is so important. What you have believed has happened. That man believed that if Jesus would just speak the word, his servant would be healed. And Jesus said, what you have believed has happened. Your servant is well. Do we have to go and lay hands on people? No, we don't have to. I mean, I remember the night that I prayed for Dr. Young right here, right on the road, right out there in my little pickup, driving down the road, and Dr. Young called me, and he had fell out of a tree on Tuesday, 35 feet in the air, and crushed his whole lower back. He's a doctor. He's a fine man, a young man in his 50s. And he had broken and crushed his lower back. And they had care-flighted him out of the mountains and done a CT scan on him, but his back is crushed, so they sent him home. And he's in excruciating pain. Well, Sunday night, Eldon over here had given him some of my DVDs to listen to. He was out there for a while and before, at some time before. And when he was out there, he gave him some of our CDs and DVDs. Well, Dr. Young is home now in bed in excruciating pain, and he's listening to these CDs. And he called and wanted to know if Cheryl and I would fly out there on Monday and pray for him. He said, I'll buy y'all's tickets. I told him, sir, are you in pain? He said, I'm in excruciating pain. I said, the God I serve loves you so much, he made me a promise in Mark 11, 23. He said, whatever I say with this mouth, if I can believe it with this heart, I can have it. That's an awesome statement the King made to you and me, right, brother? Most of us don't believe it, though, do we? Most of us don't. Mark 11, 23. It's an awesome promise from God. I said, I speak to your back, and I speak to your back a supernatural healing on your back. In the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. I said, it's done. And I hung up the phone. That's not a long prayer, is it? We drive down the road about a mile, and Cheryl looks at me and says, honey, what do you think about him? I said, no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. You hear any faith in that? Does God honor faith, sir? Yes, the King honors faith. We get home, and we're unloading the pickup a few minutes later, and all of a sudden my phone rings. About 10 or 15 minutes later, my phone rings after I made the call. And I didn't recognize the number, so I said, yes, this is Thurman. How can I help you? He said, Thurman, this is Dr. Young. He said, I'm already completely healed. He said, I eased over to the side of the bed when you prayed, my pain went away. He said, I got up, I could stand up, I could walk. He said, I walked up and down the stairs. I come back, picked up my little son. I think he was 3 or 4 or 5 years old. He said, I walked up and down the stairs again, and he said, I am completely healed. I have no problem with my back, and I have no pain in my back. That was done by praying a prayer of faith over a cell phone with a man 1,000 miles away. Now, do we serve an awesome Jesus?
Amen.
And I didn't realize that when I asked the Lord to give him a supernatural healing, Eldon was out there again at a meeting he had a year later or whatever it was, and Dr. Young had gotten some x-rays of his back. Did you notice the words I said? A supernatural healing? When they x-rayed his back, the disc or whatever you call them, the vertebrae or whatever these things are called in your back, the ones that were disintegrated in his back that was totally destroyed, according to the x-ray, they were missing. They would not show up.
There was one missing.
Oh, one.
It was the person, L2.
Eldon, you saw the x-rays. I did not see. Eldon says L2 was missing, completely missing. And when the doctor done the x-ray, they told Dr. Gary Young, Gary, don't bend over. There's nothing in your back holding it together. But yet he's walking and running and playing. When I asked for a supernatural healing, what did the king do?
Supernatural.
A supernatural healing. Are your words important?
Yep.
Very, very. Life and death in the power of the tongue. I mean, it's absolutely an awesome thing. But that scripture right there is an awesome thing. Then we go on down from verse 13 to verse 16 and 17. I want you to see this before we close today. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Look at what he says. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. All the spirits fled when he commanded them to leave, and he healed all the sick. How many demons left?
All.
How many people were healed?
All
of them. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through Isaiah, who said, he took our sickness and removed our disease. Now, meditate on that a minute. We read that, but we don't believe that. If he took our sickness and removed our disease, why in the world does any Christian have it? If Jesus already took it, if he took the sin out of your life, and he took the sickness out of your life, then why in the world is ever a Christian sick? If our King bore that for us, why? If he took your sin, just like he said in Romans 6, once you have been saved, you're supposed to have died to sin and live unto righteousness. If you stay dead to sin, will you sin anymore? It's impossible. You cannot. If you stay dead, that's the secret. You stay dead, you won't never sin again. And if you stay dead and you don't sin, then those scriptures right there, the whole thing will work where he said, I removed your disease. If you don't sin, you don't fall from grace. People fall from grace and don't even know what it is. Paul told us, anytime we sin, we fall from grace. He said, if you go in even to be circumcised to add to what Jesus has done, he said, you have fell from grace. So if you do anything, anything that adds to the grace of God for your healing, then you have fell from grace. Anything. People don't understand that if I sin, God says he hates a liar, didn't he? So we lie, just a little white lie to our wife. We don't want her to know what we did last night. Yeah. And when we do, we just fell from grace. Until you repent of that sin and get back up in that grace, you still fell from grace. When you fall from grace, you fall back under the law. When you fall back under the law, that's where the demons of hell are. That's where sickness and disease is at. That's why we get sick. Somebody was telling me they were at a meeting where Bill Johnson was the other day. And they asked me if I knew him. I said, yes, I spoke in the Gateway at the healing seminar a few years ago. And I was the first speaker. And then he was after me. And then that night after I taught, I mentioned what I just mentioned about falling from grace. And we sat by them after dinner that night. His wife said to me and said, you'll never guess what we talked about over dinner where you wasn't there. I said, what? She said, about falling from grace. She said, you got a whole new idea of what falling from grace is. We never thought about it like that. Well, let me tell you, that's the way I see it. If Paul said, if you're circumcised, you fell from grace. Well, if you add anything to the freedom you have in Christ, it's a sin. And so when you add anything to it, you fall from grace. Now you fall from grace. Where do you fall? Back under the law. I mean, you're under the law till you get saved. When you get saved, you jump up on top of where the law is. Not, you step up into grace. And when you walk holy and clean and pure before God, you walk on a narrow path that leads to eternal life. And there is no sickness and no disease on that path. Now, that's a hard one for people to swallow, especially when your pastor is sick at your church and he's got cancer and he's a pastor of a church of 1,000, 1,500 or 10,000 or 20,000 and he's sick and you say, he's holy, he's pure, he's clean. I guarantee ain't no sin in his life. I'm going to guarantee if he's sick, he's got a sin in his life. You don't know where he lives, but God is with him every second of every day. And God knows where every one of us live. You can't do nothing and hide it from God. But his word clearly says right there. He took our sickness and removed our disease. Now then I want to finish on this last thing of 1 Peter 2:21 through 24. In verse 21 of 1 Peter 2 says, this suffering is all part of what God has called you to. Christ who suffered for you is your example. Follow in his steps. So meditate on that. Whose steps are you and me supposed to be following? Jesus. Well, then he doesn't leave just mine and your idea to what these steps are. He gives us, he says, he never sinned. If you're supposed to follow in that, how often are you supposed to sin? Is that a pretty big mouthful? Do you think we can do it? Oh, no, we could never do that. You know, God would never expect us to walk in with no sin, would he? Do you think God would ever command you to do something he didn't empower you to do? Of course he wouldn't. If he tells you to have no sin, then when you walk in the Spirit and his Holy Spirit's in you, can you walk with no sin? Absolutely. It can be done. The Lord would never tell us to do something that we cannot do. He says he never sinned and he never deceived anyone. So are we supposed to be deceivers? No, he hates it. He does not want us to be deceivers. If you deceive somebody, guarantee it's going to make you sick. It may not do it the first time or the second or the third, but if you keep it up, I can assure you it will make you sick.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Job Was a Sinner, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.